You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Good to see all of you guys here this morning. Welcome. Again, I'll welcome you to Bell Road Church. My name is Tyrone. I'm the pastor here, and I'm excited for this message. We are in between series right now. We're just ending the series we ended last week, This Is Us series. Great month of January. Had a lot of fun. Next week, we're kicking off a new series called The Problems with Christianity. And so the perspective of that is there's a lot of people who don't believe in Christianity, don't believe in Jesus, and they have lots of problems with Christianity. Like, how do you know Jesus is real? How do you know God created everything? You know, how do you know Jesus really rose from the dead? I mean, there's so many questions that people wrestle with and say, I got problems with Christianity because of this. You know, I'm into science, not faith. You know, faith is a crutch for the weak. How do you reconcile all of that? So we're going to address all of those questions and those issues. We're going to walk through them. And it's the content for all of our life groups, too. So I hope you're plugging into a life group. But we're going to have some fun in life groups and on Sundays addressing, wrestling, and tackling these big questions in life. And so that starts next week. In fact, I would just point out underneath every single one of your seats, I hope, there is several one of these invite cards. This next series is a great series to invite people to come, especially if they're just wanting to explore faith. Like maybe they're not even into church, but they're just want to know what's the big deal about life and what's the meaning of life and all that kind of stuff. Hey, invite them to come. Check out Bell Road Church, especially in the coming weeks. These are going to be some great Sundays and some great messages for those exploring faith. But it's going to be good for all of us. So feel free to take all of those, any of those. We got more in the back if you'd like some invite cards. But this is just a fun little tool that you can use to invite friends to come and join us on a Sunday. And here's why we do that. Because we know all it takes is one moment in the presence of God for Him to change somebody's life. That's all it takes. So you never know how God's going to use you, and they might even respond and come, and then that moment in the presence of God, He could change their life forever. Man, it's fun to be a part of that, right? All right, so I'm excited about this message as I get to share. I would say, as I describe this message, it's something that has helped keep me sane these last several years of my life. You know, stepping into this role, I love what I do, but there's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of things that vie for my attention, a lot of issues, a lot of, like, the to-do list seems overwhelming at times. And, you know, there's just lots of communication. And just, I feel like I'm pulled in many different directions a lot in life. Anybody identify with that as well? Okay, it's like all this going on, it can be overwhelming. And I want to address that and talk about how do we deal with that in life. Like, we live in this culture today that's really fast-paced, highly driven. It's all about high performance. Be a workaholic because that's a good thing. Climb your way to the top and achieve whatever you can. That's the kind of the culture we live in. So we find ourselves in this culture. We feel that. We feel the pull. We find ourselves stuck on the conveyor belt of this rat race at times, don't we? And so the question is, how should I live in this type of a culture? Because it's not good for us to get caught up in that rat race. So how should I live in this high pace, high demand, workaholic culture that I find myself in? And the good news is this, I think God has a solution for this. And there's a lot of things that I think for people who don't believe in God, that when they see us living and experiencing God, there's a lot of things to them that are very, very attractive. Now there's some things that are very countercultural. And people struggle with those things that are very countercultural. But here's my personal opinion. The further our world gets away from God and His principles, the more some of these principles of God are going to become attractive to them. Because they're going to see how following God actually makes sense, and it makes sense and works in our life. And so this topic we're addressing today is one of those things that I think is going to be very attractive to those who aren't following or believing in Jesus. And so here's where it starts. Jesus throws out this call to anyone who would listen. This is the call to everybody on planet Earth. He says this. He says, come to me if you're weary, if you're burdened, and I will give you rest. We're going to talk about rest today. Anyone need more rest in life? So Jesus says that to all of us and to anyone who's willing to respond. Hey, if you come to me and you bring your worries, your anxieties, your stresses, all the stuff that you're dealing with in life, if you come and you trust me with all of that and with your life, here's what I'm going to give you in exchange for all of that. It's this thing called rest. That's a pretty good exchange, wouldn't you say? We're going to talk about rest here today. We're going to talk about the power of Sabbath, because I think that there is power in you and I practicing Sabbath. So here's what Sabbath is meant for. It is meant for you and I to experience rest and enjoyment in God. That's the whole purpose of practicing this thing called Sabbath. So we can experience rest and enjoyment in God. And I look at some people who are Christians, maybe been Christians for a long time, and I ask myself and I wonder about them, like, do they enjoy life? Do they enjoy being a Christian? Do they enjoy God? Because some people don't look like they're enjoying it, life or Christianity. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's like, hey, if you really do, then please tell your face, because your face doesn't show that you're actually enjoying life and you're enjoying your relationship with God. I happen to believe that God wants us to enjoy life and enjoy Him. So Sabbath helps with this. Helps us to experience rest and enjoyment in God. Oh, we don't need more money, more stuff. We don't even need more vacations or education or growing in knowledge, as good as any of all that stuff can be. What we need more of, I think, in today's world is rest. How many of you are with me? How would you describe your life? Would you describe it as restful or stressful? So, okay. It was rhetorical, but that's great. That's fine if you want to answer. I love the honesty in the room. That's awesome. Isaiah has some good words for us here. It says in Isaiah 30, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Oh, I love that right there, guys. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. So it starts right there with Isaiah saying, hey, in repentance and rest, where do you find your salvation? Where do you experience salvation? In the joy of the salvation that God has for you, which is you and I being saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. We're saved from eternal death. We get eternal life with Jesus. We get to experience that salvation with Him. And it begins the moment we say yes to following Jesus. We can experience the joy in that in repentance and rest. So what's repentance? Repentance is really you and I recognizing that I'm going the opposite way of God. Like, it's, I'm going this way. I'm kind of giving into my selfishness, my rebellion. I'm sinning. Repentance is I'm going to do a 180 and go back to God. I recognize, God, I've been going away from you. I need to go to you. I repent. I ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to come to you and trust in you. That's repentance. In that place, as I continually repent and ask for forgiveness and explore this thing called rest, I can enjoy my salvation even more. In repentance and rest is your salvation. And quietness and trust is your strength. That's what it said. You can keep that verse up there for a little while. It's not. In quietness and strength, trust is your strength. Anyone need more strength spiritually in their life? Come on, this is what you need to do. You need to get quiet. How do you get quiet? You got to stop. That's what Sabbath is all about. In quietness and trust, learning to trust God within the depths of your being and your heart is your strength. But then he goes on to say this. This is how a lot of us still respond today. And he says, but you'd have none of it. You run, you flee. This is what we do when we feel overwhelmed. All this stuff's going on. You know, the kids are crazy. I got, work's stressful. This situation I'm dealing with. And we just want to get away, right? Just want to get away. I want to flee. I got to get out of town. I need a vacation. Well, let me encourage you to make your default not just fleeing away, but flee to Jesus. Run to Jesus. I'm fully convinced, as good as a vacation can be, sometimes vacation isn't the answer. What we need is more of Jesus and finding rest in Him. This is a gift that He has for us, that He wants to give you, that He wants you to experience. And I think in order for us to fully appreciate this gift of rest, we have to learn how to fully appreciate the gift called work. Work is a gift. You ever thought of it as a gift? All the teenagers in the room say, heck no, there's no way I ever thought of work as a gift. That's like, get me, I don't want to work, okay? Work is bad, right? So I want to share a few thoughts in this message that come from this book right here. Somebody gave me this book last summer. I read it on my vacation, and it just profoundly impacted me. It's called The Rest of God by Mark Buchanan. Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath. And like I said, it really ministered to me, and so there's some thoughts today that I even pulled from there that are included in this message. And here's one of them. This is a quote from the book, and this is what Mark Buchanan said. He said, "Before we fully appreciate the gift of rest, it is vital we appreciate the gift of work. We spend most of our lives working, and when we're not working, we spend most of that time thinking about it, complaining about it, fretting about it, preparing for it, recovering from it. We feel guilty when we don't do enough, and resentful when we do too much." Identify with that?
Yeah.
That's a good word. The gift of work, though. Man, have you ever considered it a gift? You know, if many of us were honest, I think a lot of people would find themselves in this category where they consider their job to be either okay or I don't like it, and it's maybe somewhere in that spectrum, right? It's okay or I hate my job, okay? And then there's that spectrum in between where it's said that the majority of people live. And so maybe you like your job, but if you don't, that's okay. It doesn't mean you should get another job, but maybe means you should get another perspective. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, a new perspective. Paul himself said to his friends in Thessalonica, he said in 2 Thessalonians, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat," which is just a good rule in life, wouldn't you say? You don't work, you don't eat. Makes sense? Principle still applies today, right? Don't work, don't eat. Paul, interestingly enough, doesn't even say you have to like your work. He just says this is part of life. This is what we do. And the Bible, in many different ways and in places, talks about how we can do everything for the glory of God. So what if your work became worship to God? Have you ever thought about your work as a worship to Him? You ever thought about the fact that what you do is an act of worship to God? For some of you, this might be a radical thought, especially if you fall into that category of like, my job's okay to, I hate it. You know, that's a radical thought for you, right? Really? This is worship? Yes. And I would challenge you, especially if you're struggling with liking your job, I would challenge you, if you're tempted to complain about it, start praising God for it instead. The next time you feel tempted to complain about your job, just take some time and just begin to praise God. Thank you, God, for this job. Or the next time you begin to gossip about people at work, why don't you just stop and begin to pray for them. Thank God for them. Pray blessing over them. Find the good in them. Or how about this? The next time you feel like quitting your job, why don't you just pause and turn it into a time of worship to God? See, work is a worship and is the gift from God. And everything we do in work, big or small, it can really be offered as an opportunity to worship God. Even if it's small, even those menial chores that you do around the house and in the yard, those can be worship to God. Even as you're washing the dishes, that can be an act of worship to God, and we have the ability to do so. And this might sound very, very spiritual of me, so please forgive me if this sounds overly spiritual, because I don't have it all together, okay? I'm far from perfect. But this often happens to me, I would say probably every time I do the dishes, which is often, by the way. I was wrestling with every time, but I think it is every time that I do the dishes, which I might be exaggerating by the often, but I do the best that I can to help out around the house. I try. When I do the dishes, and another disclaimer, I hate dishes. Okay, anyone with me? Yeah. Which is why they pile up sometimes in some of our places, right? Okay. It's interesting, but God begins to speak to me and lays specific people and families on my heart. This has happened for years, for over a decade of my life, and all the different kitchen sinks we've had in different homes over the last, I can remember moments of, I sense God speaking to me, and I'm just praying, and I'm worshiping God as I do the dishes, and it becomes this very spiritual moment, and it just becomes a worshipful moment as I do the dishes. And then, as much as I hate dishes, I find myself actually enjoying that moment. Because I'm doing the moment with God. Okay, remember, don't use this as a, don't use this against me, okay? All right. Martin Luther, he's the leader of the Protestant Reformation. He said this. He said, the maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. I wholeheartedly agree with that, and I love that. Work, my friends, is a gift from God. But it's important that we don't allow it to become God. It's a gift from God, but it is not to become God to us. And for many of us, we've gone there. I've even been there at times in my life where my work becomes an idol and really becomes God in my life. Well, we see this a lot in America today. Work consumes people. And workaholism, it's a serious issue today, guys. Serious issue. This guy named Brian Robinson, he studied this issue, and he said this. He said, overwork is this decade's cocaine, the problem without a name. Workaholism is an obsessive compulsive disorder that manifests itself through self-imposed demands and an inability to regulate work habits and an overindulgence in work to the exclusion of most other life activities. And he goes on to describe this. This is another book that I was reading. I got this quote, and he talks about how the unfortunate thing about workaholism is it's the one thing that gets rewarded in our culture. They're the people that get the pay raises and get the promotions oftentimes because we celebrate and honor workaholics. That's scary because we can all fall into that temptation and go there, right? But we got to remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said, hey, what does it profit if you gain all of that? You gain the whole world, you get the promotion, you get the money, you get all of that stuff, but you lose your soul. Okay, so that stuff isn't bad, but we don't want to ever get to the place where we're losing our soul because of the stuff that we're pursuing in life. What does it profit a man to gain everything yet lose your soul? So Sabbath is important, I think, because it helps us not lose our soul. It's a reminder to stop, and that's why I'm calling this message The Power of Sabbath, because I believe there is power in practicing this thing called Sabbath. Remember, Sabbath is meant for you and I to experience rest and enjoyment in God. So as we experience that, I think, again, it's important for us to fully appreciate the gift of work in order to fully appreciate the gift of rest. But then as I step into Sabbath and I practice it, I begin to learn a lot about what it means to rest. I learn a lot about God. God teaches me things. Sabbath is what I've learned is it teaches me to stop and trust God. It forces me to do that. It teaches us that the world does not revolve around us. It revolves around God. It teaches us to slow down, which a lot of us need help with. Slow down. And Sabbath teaches us that the world will not fall apart if I take a day off. Some of us think that secretly. We wouldn't admit it, but we think that. But Sabbath teaches this. So as I practice Sabbath, I learn how to rest. I learn to enjoy life more. And I learn how to take a break in a meaningful way. So what is Sabbath? What is it that we do? Well, some people would kind of push back on this and say, no, this is an Old Testament thing. Jesus came, established a New Testament, New Covenant. But that's not completely true because Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, not abolish the law. And so in this law especially, Jesus is fulfilling Sabbath. And so as we step into Sabbath, what we're really stepping into is Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all the law. And so I practice Sabbath, not so I can do my religious duty or obligation, but so that I can experience more of Jesus in my life. Because he is the essence and the embodiment of Sabbath. He is my Sabbath rest, essentially. Remember, he is the reward. So back in Jesus' day, the religious people made a lot of rules about Sabbath, and there's lots of crazy things that you could do and you couldn't do. You know, you couldn't walk more than a half a mile, and they had this all figured out. And so if you took one more step over half a mile, then you just totally messed up your Sabbath. Like, that was work right there. Before, not work. Oh, you just worked, okay? And then it's like you broke the law, the rule, and you were not holy and religious. People looked down on you. And so they made all these rules. And what's interesting is when you study the totality of Scripture, you really only see one command from God in regards to Sabbath. It only says one thing. It's cease from work. There's a few clues about some other things that can help us enjoy Sabbath, but that's really all that he says, and I think there's a good reason for that. It's because we would be tempted to do the exact same thing all those religious people did way back in the day. We'd establish all these rules and boundaries, and you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and this is what it is, and this is what you can't do, you know, and so we'd be tempted to do that ourselves. And we'd find ourselves in the same place where I am earning my relationship with God because look at how good I am at keeping Sabbath. Oh, you don't keep Sabbath? Oh, what's wrong with you? I do. Yeah, I'm really good at it, by the way. I can't believe you would never, like, do you not even love Jesus? Do you not even care? That's like one of the greatest things I've ever started in my whole life. Because of Sabbath, me and Jesus, we're like this. Actually, we're like this. We're closer than this. We're this. And sometimes we can get this holier-than-thou attitude as we practice spiritual things. And that was what was going on with the people back in Jesus' day. They thought they were earning it, and it was all about, you know, status, and look at me, how could I do this? And that's not what Sabbath is about. It's about a day for you and I to experience rest and enjoy Him. We're stepping into Jesus and experiencing that relationship with Him. Let Him giving life to us. So let's look at the two mentions of Sabbath within the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are listed twice in the Old Testament. So this, in Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. So there's two times that it's commanded for us to do Sabbath. And Exodus 20 is the first one we'll look at. Exodus 20, verse 8 says this. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter nor your manservant or maidservant nor your animals nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay, then you go over to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12 says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So, those are the two instances we're commanded. And it's interesting that there's two different anchors in those versions of remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The first passage, the Exodus passage that I read, pointed the Jews back to creation. The second one, Deuteronomy, pointed them back to their slavery in Egypt. Did you catch that? Exodus 20:11 said, and for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Deuteronomy 5 said, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. So Exodus 20 points us back to our Creator, and Deuteronomy 5 points us back to freedom. And as you and I step into practicing Sabbath, those are important things for us to understand. And it helps me to remember those things because I'm stopping. I actually have time to remember. That's right, God, you created all of this. You created me. You gave me life. You are my creator and the creator of every living thing, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God, I thank you for all that you have created. And it reminds us to thank Jesus for how he has set us free from the power of sin. And so these are great reminders for us still to this day. As you and I stop and experience Sabbath, it's an opportunity for us to be thankful for Jesus for giving us life and giving us a free life. In fact, I would say as you practice Sabbath, it has the power to break things in your life. You can step into new areas of freedom in your life. But here's the deal. Many of us, we struggle with this slowing down thing. We have a hard time with it. We have a hard time letting go. We have a hard time with just stopping. But that's what this requires. And a lot of us, we're stressed, we're exhausted, we're worried, all those things. And so, man, think about how awesome it is to take a day where you just let go of all that and just enjoy God and rest. That's what Sabbath offers us. Doesn't that just sound good? Doesn't that just feel good, just thinking about it? So what is Sabbath? I'll give you a definition, but first let me start by saying this. It's honestly an art that you just have to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. Okay, again, so there's not a big whole set of rules where you can do this, can't do this, okay? It's just something you got to step out and start doing and practice it. And just like anything else you practice, you will get better at it. There are weeks Amy and I have great Sabbaths. There are other weeks where it's like, that wasn't very fun. I look forward to next week. Hopefully we can do better. Because whatever happened, you know, life can happen sometimes, right? And so he's got to practice it and just do your best at experiencing this gift from God, this gift called rest. Remember, Sabbath is meant for that, so that you and I could experience rest and enjoy our relationship with God. So here's one definition of Sabbath. Sabbath is imitating God so we stop trying to be God. Now, back in the day, ministers would say, man, we can't take a day off. The devil never takes a day off. We got to keep going after people. We got to work every day, 7 days a week, because the devil's after them 7 days a week. We got to be rescuing them from the power of the devil, you know. And someone finally got smart and said, well, who's your model in life? Are you going to model your life after the devil or God? Because God took a day off. He rested. And that makes sense, right? And so it's a chance for us to stop trying to be God and recognize I can't control really anything. Control is illusion, I found, in life. It's an illusion that some of us are captivated by. It's a chance to let go of control and trust and rest. Oh, friends, this is a powerful thing for us. And I think this is something that is very attractive to anybody in our culture today. But this is what God offers. So in this book here, this is how Mark Buchanan defines Sabbath. He says, Sabbath is a day and it's an attitude. And I love that simplistic aspect of the definition. It's a day that you set aside to be with God, to enjoy God, to stop and rest. Okay, it's a day, but it's also an attitude. It matters how you approach your Sabbath emotionally, mentally, physically, all that, and spiritually, okay? This attitude that you have as you approach it and experience it is a big deal. So it's a day and it's an attitude. He goes on to say, Sabbath is a day to cease from that which is necessary and to embrace that which gives life. That's what it is. Work 6 days, do all the things you're supposed to do, that you have to do, that you ought to do. Then on the seventh day, don't do any of that. Just stop and just rest. And again, that list of to-dos can be insurmountable, it can be overwhelming, it can be ominous in our life, even controlling, right? So on Sabbath, we get to let go of those things. We get to stop. We cease from work, and we enjoy life. We enjoy the presence of God. And one of the things you get to do is things that you really enjoy doing, things that give you life. It's a day that you really get to enjoy. Do things that you love to do, those things that you wish you had time for, but you don't have time for, you begin to make time for those. They just breathe life into you. Now, I got to caution you and say this. Sabbath is not what is known today as a me day. And me days are very popular. You've probably heard of me days, right? I've seen a me day, you know. You know, search for the hashtag me day in Twitter and Facebook, and you'll see lots of posts about people. I had a me day. I had a me day. I did this. I did that. I did whatever I wanted. And I just ordered pizza, and I did this, you know. And it's, that's fine. You know, a me day can be good, and it cannot be good, actually. Because if all you and I do is give in to all of our wants, that can actually lead us down a scary road, too. Because a Sabbath day is something spiritual. It's something to renew us spiritually and mentally and physically and emotionally in all those ways. So Sabbath is a holy spiritual thing, not just a me day. I would say this, Sabbath was meant to rescue you and us from ourselves. And so our world says you need a me day, but we would say you need something way better than that. You need a Sabbath where you can actually have a day to stop and rest and experience the presence of God, and that'll change your life. Way better than a me day. So you can Netflix binge your favorite show and have a me day all you want, but that show's not going to change our life. But God will. Okay, so it's different from a me day. Did I make that clear? Sabbath has the power to break us, I think, out of the prison of our own selfishness. Because we tend to just want to live selfishly. So it's a holy day. It's a chance for you and I to do things that we know are good for us. Take time to stop and just read and pray. Read the word. Pray, reflect. Go play. Go for a walk. Ride your bike. Go on a hike. Take your kids to the park. Just play. Just rest. Just relax. Just do things that are fun. Hang out with friends. Take some time to worship as well. I mean, all those things, just, it's amazing how much that can just rejuvenate your life. And it recenters you on who is most important in your life. And that's God. It's not us. It's God. And it helps us to enjoy life even more. And then we can live out of rest instead of stress. Too many people are living out of stress, not rest. So remember, Sabbath is a day to cease. This is Mark Buchanan's definition. Cease from that which is necessary and to embrace that which gives life. And can I just say, no one's going to give you life more than God. He's who gives us life. He's who renews us and does that work inside of us. Okay, so some would ask, all right, so is it okay to do yard work and household chores on Sabbath? Great question. And the answer to that would depend on who you are and what it is and what gives you life. So is it something that you feel like you have to do this, you ought to do this? And if that's the case, maybe you shouldn't. Don't do something you feel like you have to do. It's like, oh, I don't have any other time to do it, so I got to do it today. And let's be real, life is not perfect, and so sometimes maybe Sabbath is the only time you can get some of those things done, okay? I've done that, I've been there, but there's a lot of times where I won't go out in the yard and do yard work because I just don't feel like it. I want to rest. And so it feels better to not do it, let me just tell you. Because I can do it on other days. There's other days that I can work and I can do this, I can get the other stuff done, I might have to rearrange schedule, but it feels good to not do something I feel like I have to do like that, so I can rest and enjoy the day and enjoy my family and enjoy God. So you've got to find out what gives you life. I have finally grown to the point where I actually enjoy Arizona landscaping and Arizona yard work. It took me a while because I didn't know how to take care of palm trees. Every time I saw palm trees on vacation, they look glorious. I walk in my backyard and I'm like, my palm tree doesn't look like that. How do I do that? What do I do? I don't know. And so it was very stressful. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I look at my pool. My pool's a mess. I don't even know what to do. I'm just going to go back inside. You know, I'm like, I'm stressed. That's kind of how it felt at first. And now I'm getting to a point where I understand it and actually I enjoy it more. And so oftentimes I'll go out there. It's a chance for me to be alone, enjoy that. If household chores bring life to you, then awesome. If not, maybe you do those on other days. Okay, again, there's no like hard black and white rules, but you got to find what gives you life. And then ultimately you got to make sure it all centers around God. Make sense? I would say a good Sabbath includes these things. It's not limited to. This isn't a comprehensive list, but here's a list of things. It includes worship. It includes scripture. It includes play. It includes rest. Maybe you want to take a nap. That's an awesome thing to do on Sabbath. I like to get up early before my family and have some prayer and reading, reflection time before everyone gets up. But I'll be honest and say on some Sabbaths, it's a great day for me to not set my alarm and just wake up when I wake up because I'm tired. And that feels good to do too sometimes, right? Hey, whenever I wake up, that's when I get up. That feels good. Rest, prayer, reflection, recreation, food. Enjoy food on Sabbath. Family, friends. A favorite rent-a-family tradition on Sabbath is to chow down on waffles or pancakes. Slap a whole bunch of peanut butter and syrup on those waffles and just feast on waffles. That's a good Sabbath morning right there. I love that. So some would say this is great. Sounds good. But like really, what's the point? Why would we do this? And I think that practicing this Sabbath thing helps us to make sure our life is centered on Jesus. That's what it helps us do. It reminds us who we want to center our life on, who we want to live for. Remember, I said this was meant to save us from ourselves. So it helps that take place. And I also think that practicing this can help us go deeper in our Christian faith. Well, we don't need just smarter Christians. We don't need more talented Christians. What we need is deeper Christians, people who have depth to their relationship with God. And this is something that brings depth and strength to who you are and to the faith that you have in Jesus. This is a big deal. This helps you and I be stronger followers of Jesus. And that's the goal. Here at Bell Road Church, this is how we define what it means to be a Christian. It means I'm committed to following Jesus. I'm being changed by Jesus. I'm led by the Spirit of Jesus. And I'm living on the mission of Jesus. Those are the four aspects, four components. We feel like this encompasses what it means to be a Christian. If I'm going to say yes to Jesus, this is what I'm saying yes to. I'm committed to following him, and I'm not going to be perfect at it. None of us are, but I'm still committed to that act of following him. I am being changed by him. I'm led by the Spirit of Jesus, and I'm living on his mission that he's given us, he's given to the church. But can I just say that he cannot change us if we do not stop. If you just keep this hurried, fast-paced life and just keep go, and every once in a while you're offering prayers and you know, you just have these little moments, I promise you, He can't change you from the inside out like he wants to and like you want him to. Depth and growth and healing and all those things cannot take place if we don't stop and let him do the work. So Sabbath helps with that because we stop. And it really gives room for Jesus to speak to me and to do a work in my life. We got to make room for that. If it really is that important, make room. So here's just a few closing thoughts from David in Psalm 62. Love this psalm, great psalm, Psalm 62. David said this. He said, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Can I ask you, when was the last time your soul found rest in God? Does it happen often enough? The truth is, you and I can experience it on a daily, a regular basis. We can just stop even just for a few moments, take some deep breaths, pray, look to him, open scripture. It could just be a few moments. We can experience that. But something profound and powerful happens when we open up an entire day to stop and find rest. So David's words are, find rest. My soul finds rest in you, God, alone. He doesn't find rest in his circumstances or in his friends or in his family. He says, I find it in God alone. I think it's important to understand the circumstances that David is living in while he's writing these words. This is when his son has taken over the throne. Doesn't want his dad to be king. He wants to be king. He's chased his dad off, and he actually wants to kill his dad. So David has lost the throne to his son and is fleeing for his very life. And he writes these words, my soul finds rest in God alone. You think you have a tough week, you have a rough season in life, okay, this, I mean, you probably aren't, someone's probably not chasing you down trying to kill you. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock, David says, and my salvation, he is my fortress. And he says this, I will never be shaken. Why? Because he found rest in God. What if you took an entire day for your soul to find rest in him? Do you think that would have an impact on your life? Wouldn't it? Hey, here's the deal, guys. We live in a world that's physically sick. Lots of illnesses, and the doctors, you've heard all the studies. You've heard this before. The majority of illnesses and sicknesses in our country today are stress-related. Majority stress-related. That should be one of those, like, hello, light bulbs should come on for all of us. Well, why don't we do something to eliminate this whole stress issue? If it's having that profound of an impact on our lives and our culture, why don't we really kind of go after the stress thing? And God's like, I got a solution for you. It's a way for you to find rest in life. I think if people practice this and just grow in the art of practicing Sabbath, they'll get healthier because the stress is gonna diminish more and more and more and more and more. And so I think Sabbath has the power to do that. Maybe you're struggling right now. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe you've had thoughts of, man, I just need a new job or a new marriage or I need to move, get out of town. Can I just say, maybe the answer for you is rest for your soul. And God offers that to you. And if we, like David, find rest in him and we're able to say, he's my salvation, my fortress, and my rock, then we can say the words that are at the end of verse 2. I will never be shaken. Everybody say never. Key word there. I will never be shaken. No matter what I go through in life, I'll never be shaken because I know how to find rest and I know how to find strength. Those are great words by David. So he declares it, then he shifts gears a few verses later where he has to kind of remind himself to experience it. Verse 5 and 6, he says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. At the beginning he said, my soul finds rest. Now he's saying, hey, David, what you did before, do it again right now because you need to do this. Like, you need to find rest right now, soul. Soul, find rest in God. We need this right now. And I think that can be a great practice for you and I to do as we step into Sabbath. All right, soul, we need this. Let's find rest in God. It's kind of like we're exhorting ourselves. We're encouraging ourselves. We're declaring it to ourselves. David did that, saying, hey, what you did before, let's do it again because we need that. That was a good thing. So I'd encourage all of us to do that. And then he ends. It doesn't end, but a couple verses later, he shifts from personal exhortation to public exhortation, where he says in verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. He's the one you can run to no matter what you're going through. He is your refuge. So trust in him. When you feel like it, when it's convenient, when you have time to, no, it says at all times, right? Is that what it says? Or did I read it wrong? No, that's right. Making sure. At all times, right? Trust in him. And he says, pour out your hearts. David was good at this, by the way. You read through Psalms, he could pour out his heart. Kill my enemies. Like, you know, I need you, God. Where are you? I feel all alone, you know. And he's like, oh, God, I trust in you. You're good. Like, wow, whoa, you're all over the place, David. He poured out his heart, right? He was good. I love this because David's like this mighty warrior of a dude. He's like a man's man, yet he knew how to pour out his heart. But then he made some pretty major mistakes. Like, he killed people, murdered them. After having an affair, you know, committing adultery and all these things. And so, yet even at the end of his life, he was called the man after God's own heart. How is that even possible? He did things way worse than me. How can he be a man after God's own heart? I think it was because he learned how to pour out his heart to God. And even though he messed up, he came back to God and he poured out his heart to him. He repented, he asked for forgiveness, and God restored him. And in the end, even through the ups and downs of David's life, he was a man after God's own heart. So let me encourage you to learn to pour out your heart to him. That's it. Thing we need to do on a regular basis, but Sabbath again gives room for you and I to stop, maybe journal, maybe pray, maybe worship, but just pour out your heart to him. Take some time where you can get alone and do it. Just pour your heart out to him. And I'm saying this to all of us in the room, even the manliest of men in the room, just like David here, we need to pour out our heart to God and watch what he does in us and through us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to renew us. We're going to find rest in him. We're going to enjoy him and life even more. So, that's what Sabbath is for, guys. Doesn't that sound like a good deal? It's meant for you to experience rest and enjoyment in God. The goal in life really is this. It's one thing, that you and I just continue to grow in loving Jesus, right? Is that the goal? That I would grow in loving Jesus. And so, Sabbath helps us with that goal. Putting Jesus at the center so I can grow in loving him more and more and more. You stand to your feet. We're going to take some time. We're going to pray. We're going to respond to him. And here's my encouragement to all of us. In these last few moments, the worship team is going to lead us again before we go. Before we live our busy lives, let's stop. Maybe in these next few moments, you need to receive from God. All of us need to respond however we need to respond in these last few moments, though. Here's my encouragement to you. Here's a few next steps I'd throw up on the screen here. What can you do in light of this? Okay, there's some obvious practical next steps. Hey, how about decide to start practicing this thing called Sabbath? Just start. Even if it's a half of the day, find a day that works for you. Find a time, start practicing it. You just start trying to get better at it. Learn to stop and slow down on a daily and weekly basis. Learn to stop and slow down. If there's one thing I feel like I would love to repeat over and over and over and over and over again to Christians in this culture, it's for the need to slow down and stop. And even right now, some of us are like, I'm so hungry, Tyrone, just shut up, I want to get out of here, I just want food. And you're just like, our mind goes there, guys, right? Big game today, whatever, you know, is on your mind. And our mind goes to the next thing, and we struggle with just stopping. Just resting, like, oh, I just need to be here right now, right? I just need to be right here in this moment. We've got to learn how to stop and slow down. If you want to have depth to your faith and your relationship with Jesus, you've got to grow in this. All of us do. Another next step would be, maybe you like the whole work as worship. I want to dedicate my work as worship to God. Maybe that's something that you want to really focus in on this week. The last thing would be, maybe today's the day for you to say yes to Jesus and commit to following him. That's the first decision you would need to make. I would encourage you to do so today. I want you to join me in prayer right now. Lord, we come to you so thankful that we can bring everything, all that we are, all that we am, all of our stresses, worries, and anxieties to you, knowing that you offer us rest. So Jesus, I pray by your Spirit that you would fill this room with rest and peace right now. Peace. It doesn't even make sense. It goes beyond understanding and comprehension right now. By your Spirit, I pray, God, that people would even, before we go, Lord, receive the gift of rest. Would you do that right now, Lord? Some people feel really overwhelmed right now. God, and I just pray that you'd show them that you care. And they can come to you if they're weary, if they're burdened, and you will give them rest. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize you need to commit your life to Jesus and following him. I encourage you to make today that day and make the greatest decision you could ever make in your life, and that's saying yes to Jesus. So if that's you and you say, I'm ready, I need to do this, I'd love for you to slip your hand up right now. We're gonna take a moment. We're just going to pray. If there's anybody here that would say, yeah, that's me, thank you. Anybody else to say, that's me, I need to say yes to him. It just requires you and I just recognizing, man, I need forgiveness of my sins and my rebellion. I need to come to Jesus and trust him and follow him. Anybody else to say, that's me? That's me. February 3rd, 2019 is my day. I just really want to encourage you to pray along with me. You don't have to repeat the exact words, but just pray along. Mean this from your heart. Speak it from your mouth. But let's just all just kind of pray together in this moment. Here's the prayer, Lord. We come to you. We're so thankful for your love, your loving kindness that leads us to repentance. We realize right now, Lord, in this moment that we have sinned and separated ourselves from you, and so we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We come back to you. We're thankful that you restore our relationship. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Jesus, help me to live for you and follow you for the rest of my life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we just give a hand to those that made that decision right now? Come on.
Again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.